This is Robin here with Queer Lehigh Valley here at WDIY. I'm super excited today to talk with Liz Bradbury to talk a little bit about LGBTQ plus activism and current non-discrimination ordinances. I'll give Liz an opportunity to introduce herself then.
Okay, I'm Liz Bradbury, and I live in Allentown and have for a long time, almost 40 years. And I've been working on activism for the LGBT community in the Lehigh Valley since 1993.
Amazing. So my first question is, when did you first start getting involved with LGBTQ plus activism?
Right in 1993 and 94 were the creation of FACT and the creation of the Lehigh Valley LGBT Task Force, or as Gay and Lesbian Task Force, and also the first Pride Festival, which took place in 1994 in Cedar Beach Park in Allentown. And at that time, Trish and I volunteered to work in a booth that was actually for a Philadelphia LGBT organization. And we did that. And that was the very first year. There's actually a video of that particular Pride Festival that's in the archives, at the LGBT archives at Muhlenberg College. And we started to do stuff. And we met Steve Black, who was a political activist. And Steve was starting a political organization in this part of the state, in the eastern part of the state, and we said that we would work with him. But one of the things Trish and I said at that time was, well, all we really want to do is stuff envelopes, which turned out absolutely to not be true.
Yeah, I was going to say, just knowing you and knowing everything you've done is
about, that lasts about
much
10 minutes.
More than that, actually. It's interesting you started to bring up other people involved. My next question is, like, who were some of the people who helped introduce you / get you involved in activism, who are teachers?
There
you
were some really, I mean, in my early life, my family had been very serious activists for human rights. And my dad worked with Martin Luther King and edited his books. And my mother was a volunteer for many, many, many years for an art organization. And both of them were very liberal and very committed to working for health and equality for all people. So that was sort of in my background. When I understood that I was part of the LGBT community when I was in college and graduate school, I helped to start an organization in Indiana. It's not a particularly positive state, but we did start an organization. That was in the late 70s. And so I've been doing this for a long time.
That's amazing. I'm probably most aware of, like, just from my own experience knowing you, of your role in the passage of the Allentown Non-Discrimination Ordinance. Mm-hmm. Can you tell folks a little bit about what that specific campaign was like?
So back when we first started to work with Steve Black in 1994, we created an organization ultimately that was called PAGALA, Pennsylvania Gay and Lesbian Alliance for Political Action. And one of our big missions was to pass an anti-discrimination ordinance in the Lehigh Valley and in Allentown, because it's easier to pass an ordinance in the town where you live. You don't seem like a carpetbagger that's coming in from outside saying, you should do this. But this was my city. We owned a house there. And so Trish and I were very committed to doing that kind of work right in Allentown. And we got a pretty good response from, because there are a lot of LGBT organizations in the area. In the Lehigh Valley at that time, there was about 30 LGBT organizations were doing various different things, everything from GSAs in schools and colleges to FACT to the task force to the Pride Festival. And so Steve and Trish and I started this organization to provide voter information for people in the 90s. And that was very successful because people really wanted that information. So it was old school. You know, we would go to Pride festivals. We would gather people's names on cards that they signed to lobby. Then we'd ask them, can we put you on our mailing list? And mailing list meant mail. That's snail mail.
Yeah, yeah.
And at that time, I mean, there were some very beginning of email, but mostly it was snail mail. And that's what we did. And we ended up interviewing candidates and finding out how where they stood on LGBT issues and helping people win elections based on that information, including school board. And people would say to us, you know, I have no idea who to vote for at school board. And now never stop this organization because it's really telling me who to, because people are cross-filed and stuff like that. So it was very helpful. And we did mailings to thousands and thousands of people, and we actually worked in seven counties in the eastern part of the state and ultimately helped to elect a person to Allentown City Council who was Gail Hoover with the idea that she would work, among other things, she would work to introduce an anti-discrimination addition of sexual orientation and gender identity to Allentown's existing anti-discrimination law, which was originally passed in 1964. And we did that. And there was a lot of pushback on it, and we ended up passing it, also including working to get a supportive mayor elected as well, who was at that time Roy Offlerbach. And he signed it into law, but we had pushback on it right away. And there was a lawsuit. Well, at first there was a ballot effort that we ultimately mobilized hundreds of people to fight against the ballot effort, and then we were able to keep it in place. And then there was a lawsuit against it that we ultimately won after 3 years. And so it was in place and it set a lot of precedents in the state. And from that point, and that was the first inclusion of gender identity in a non-discrimination law. We had we added sexual orientation, gender identity. Six other communities had sexual orientation in their law, but not gender identity in their non-discrimination law, specifically enumerating that as a class. And so as a result, we were the first to do that in Allentown and other cities like, oh, I don't know, Philadelphia was kind of pretty embarrassed about that. So they rushed right out and a month later added gender identity to their non-discrimination ordinance. And that began a cascade of dozens and dozens of towns. And now there's 79 municipalities in the state of Pennsylvania, which covers about a third of the state, a little bit more than a third of the state, that have non-discrimination laws. And we're continuing to work on that now because we do not have a state law. And people need to understand that we don't have a state law that protects LGBT people, that protects people based on sexual orientation and gender identity. And right now, based on a Supreme Court decision from a few years ago, the Bostock decision, and based on the progressive people who we have in the governor's office, the interpretation of the term sex as a protected class includes sexual orientation and gender identity. There are five states that do that, and we're one of them. There are 21 other states that actually have the enumeration of sexual orientation and gender identity, like New York and New Jersey and Maryland and everybody else that surrounds us, almost, except for Ohio. And because of that circumstance, we're in a really tenuous position because that's just because we have a good governor. And if we didn't have that governor, or if the Supreme Court of the United States, who is pretty dastardly right now, made a decision that communities could not just interpret it that way, the Supreme Court has said you have to legislate these rights. That's the whole Roe v. Wade circumstance, because Roe v. Wade was an interpretation. And so conservative Supreme Court judges have said, you want these rights, you have to legislate them town by town, state by state, county by county. So that's one of the things that I've been working on now.
Yeah, definitely. And it's, I'm sure, a lot of work.
I just want to add, too, that, you know, when people say, for example, well, we could just wait for the state to pass this. The state of Pennsylvania has not added a new protected class to its anti-discrimination law since 1991. So we can't wait.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, 1991 was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was before I was born, believe it or not.
Well, it wasn't before I was born. I was already working on LGBT rights. But I can tell you this, that while we have a pretty good, we have a great governor and we have a pretty good House of Representatives in Harrisburg, our Senate is gerrymandered to the point where it is very hard. It's conservative. It's not going to pass this. And so we cannot count on a state passage.
Yeah. I'm kind of wrapping up our first part of talking about some of your past work. Some of the impact that you've seen of non-discrimination ordinances? I know we have Allentown, and I also know that Lehigh County fairly recently passed really comprehensive non-discrimination ordinance.
Allentown, when we first started doing political stuff, we'd call up people who were running for office, often incumbents, and say, well, we want you to protect, you know, I don't know, somebody who's representing the town of Emmaus, mm-hmm. so the Emmaus Board of Supervisors, or a state representative who was representing a part of Allentown or a part of, I don't know, Hellertown or something like that, and would say, we want you to support LGBT people. And a significant number of them said, we don't have any LGBT people in this town, which is, of course, not true.
Yeah, for sure.
Ridiculously not true. And then, you know, after we were done kind of snickering because it's just not true, we recognized that it's a big problem. Mm-hmm. So what we started to do was get people to lobby these folks who didn't understand that mm-hmm. LGBT people have been around forever.
Yeah.
And that there's a significant part of the population, not only who is LGBT, but also his LGBTQ plus, cares about that population.
Yeah, for sure.
And so writing cards and letters, I mean, we were working on the hate crimes bill at one time because the hate crimes bill did not, it's called the Ethnic Intimidation Act in the state of Pennsylvania, and it didn't include sexual orientation and gender identity. So every year we would produce 10,000 actual physical postcards to write to
wow.
state representatives and senators, state senators, saying you need to pass this law. And they did, but then they overturned it on a technicality about 3 years later. It was really tough. But then there was the Matthew Shepard hate crimes law that mm-hmm. happened federally. So people are a little bit less concerned about it because there's a federal protection.
Yeah, for sure.
The Hawkins-Shepard law. That was some of the stuff. But one of the things I can say is now nobody thinks that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nobody in the city of Allentown, say the mayor and the city council or the city of Bethlehem or Lehigh County or anything like that, that thinks that there aren't any LGBT people in our
sure.
community. And also recognizes that LGBT people are a very significant force in the community to mm-hmm. do rehabilitation and provide services to families and to all sorts of things that we do. And that this population is frequently and currently horrendously discriminated against mm-hmm. and that people who believe, who are in legislative positions, who believe that people shouldn't be discriminated against based on who they love or how they present themselves or how they understand their identity or the color of their skin or whatever the circumstance, their ethnicity, believe that there should be protections and laws. And, you know, we've had significant changes all along. I mean, there were times when the idea of having a gay-straight alliance in school was so abhorrent to school boards that they would say terrible things about it, and they would
sure.
never do that now. When we went to pass the anti-discrimination ordinance in Allentown in 2002, that's when mm-hmm. it passed, so that was 23 years ago. People said horrible things about LGBT people. When we passed, and I led the effort to pass that in 2002, and Trish and a bunch of other people worked very, very hard on the passage of that. But when I led the effort to pass this in Lehigh County, which happened last year, no one said anything negative mm-hmm. about the LGBT community. The only thing they said about not passing the law is, well, there's already a state law, which isn't really true.
Yeah.
And even the Republicans who were on the, and conservative Republicans who were on Lehigh County Board of Commissioners, none of them said anything negative. Mm-hmm. Several of them said, well, I don't have anything against LGBT people. I just don't think that we need to have a law to protect them. Well, it's kind of silly thing to say.
Kind of the same thing.
But it's a but thing. Yeah. But they weren't saying, well, what they were saying and allowing people to say 23 years ago, which was horrible stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was very devastating to young people that heard that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, so what I'm hearing is like a encouragement towards a shift in really the way that the community is seen and understood. And I think that that's something I've definitely felt, at least in my experiences. I do a lot of work in Allentown and Bethlehem, and they feel like communities where at the very baseline, there's a general understanding that there are LGBTQ plus people here who deserve a little bit of like kindness.
Well, I mean, they deserve respect and kindness. And
so I really feel like, at least in my experience in the area, that I do feel like that is true. And so it's positive to see that that kind of has that effect. And I think that that was something that was talked about a lot when the recent, like, Sanctuary City thing mm-hmm. happened in Allentown, is sometimes there's both the effect of the law, but then also sometimes almost more impactful sometimes is that ripple effect of, like, instilling in a community that this is something that is important to us. And reminding our elected officials of that is definitely important.
One of the things that happened when we passed Allentown's anti-discrimination law in 2002, I was, you know, there that night, there was a bunch of people there, and the manager or the managing editor of the Morning Call, who is Dan Hartzell, who is now a county commissioner of Lehigh County, interestingly enough, who voted in favor of the passage of the county law. But way back in 2002, he said, okay, so tomorrow morning, how is this going to be different from LGBT people? For LGBT people. And I said, here's the deal. Tomorrow morning, some kid is going to see this front page headline at their breakfast table, and they're going to turn to their parents and say, the city of Allentown thinks I should have the same rights as everybody else. Mom and Dad, why don't you? That's a big circumstance that makes change for people. I mean, back then and before then, you could be fired. And people were fired for being LGBT. Now you can be fired for saying something that's anti-LGBT. Mm-hmm. That's a big diff.
For sure.
I mean, for discriminating against somebody in your business, you could be fired for that. That was absolutely not true.
Oh, yeah,
23 years ago. So there has been significant change.
I feel like it gives me a little bit of hope seeing how things can change. We're going to take a short break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the current work around non-discrimination ordinances in Pennsylvania.
Great.
WDIY presents a selection of award-winning podcasts that air weeknights from 6 to 7 p.m. Listen to important conversations regarding art, science, business, health, and more here in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Check our website for new topics and archived programs. WDIY podcasts are on 88.1 FM, streaming at wdiy.org, on the app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Robin, with Queer Lehigh Valley, back from our break. Right now, we're talking with Liz Bradbury and talking about LGBTQ+ activism and specifically non-discrimination ordinances in the state of Pennsylvania. So tell us a little bit about some of your recent work and what you're doing right now around LGBTQ+ activism. I know recently you helped found the Keystone Equality group that's working for LGBTQ+ rights in the state.
Well, first of all, I do want to say that in between 2002 and now, I worked with Adrian Schenker and Trish and I created and founded the Bradbury Sullivan Center, and I worked there for 8 years where I trained people on LGBT issues. I trained over 300 organizations and more than 17,000 people on how to work with the LGBT community. After I left there, I was approached to chair Keystone Equality, which is a statewide LGBT sort of political action and community action organization. And so I have been doing that. And also, I worked with a Human Relations Advisory Council. I was asked to work with the Human Relations Advisory Council by the county, by Lehigh County, to craft an anti-discrimination law, a progressive anti-discrimination law for the county of Lehigh that covered the entire county. And I worked with a really great diverse committee of people, but I am the person who was able to write law. I've written a lot of law. I worked on the Allentown law. I worked on Bethlehem law. I worked on Easton law, Reading, a bunch of other places. I actually now, I think it's going to be 21 pretty soon that I actually have 21 human relations or anti-discrimination laws that benefit the LGBT community, LGBTQ+ community, but other people as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, all other protected classes as well. But the other people on this advisory council didn't know how to write law. So I worked really hard to write this law, but I had a great input from these other folks who had a lot of understanding about protected classes that I may not have as clear understanding about, and gave me really terrific support and information. And I could bounce back the stuff. It took us 3.5 years to write that law. And it is the most progressive law in the state of Pennsylvania. And it passed in February of 2024, so last year. And it established a Human Relations Commission, and I am now the chair of that commission. But other communities around the state have reached out, because one of the hardest parts about passing law is writing the law. Mm-hmm. So once you've got a law that's written, then the only thing that's keeping people from passing it is people not passing it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the legislators, passing it. There's nothing else. And in fact, the state human relations law, which is the Pennsylvania Human Relations Act, which was passed in 1964. It was passed originally in 1964. absolutely says that every municipality in the state of Pennsylvania has the right to create its own human relations commission and implement a human relations law that protects protected classes as they see fit. Mm-hmm. And so as a result, there are 79 communities. And right now, four of them are counties. So Lehigh County, you know, the passage of a law like in Easton covers about 26,000 people. Mm-hmm. The passage of a law in Lehigh County covers 357,000 people. Yeah. So it's really significant to have county passages, especially in the eastern part of the state. So there are four counties that have the law: Erie, Allegheny, Philadelphia County, and Lehigh County. But I'm working now with some other counties to pass the law, and we're looking at some movement. Montgomery County created a human relations commission, and that was last week. They actually mentioned that. Unfortunately, they didn't create a law. So there's no protected classes. They're just following the state law, which is a very tenuous and very old-fashioned law. It doesn't cover most significant numbers of businesses, only larger businesses. And they have 180 days to create a very small commission. Seems like an awful lot of time. That's 6 months, so people won't be protected until after that happens locally. But I really hope, strongly hope, that Montgomery County just actually takes the Lehigh County language and passes that as a law. But I'm seeing Delaware and Chester County moving very rapidly toward the passage of those. And so when you talk about places like Delaware County and Chester County, each of those counties have over 500,000 people.
Yeah, for sure.
So when you pass, if we pass both of those laws, and as a matter of fact, I have this little card, and it has eight counties that are progressive counties in the state of Pennsylvania, and they are Lehigh, Bucks, Center County, which is where State College is, Chester, Delaware, Monroe, Montgomery, and Northampton counties. And then they have little boxes next to them, and Lehigh County is checked.
Yeah.
And it says at the top, your county needs to pass a fully inclusive non-discrimination law. If we can check Chester and Delaware on this, and we're hoping that that is moving along pretty quickly, that would mean that another 1,100,000 people in the state and everybody that works in those counties would be protected from discrimination. Because right now, only about a third of the people, a little between a third and 40%, between 30 and 40%, are actually protected.
Yeah.
But this would add another about 10%.
Yeah, that's
so that's pretty great.
For sure.
And if we do all of these counties that are on the list, that's 6 million, 6.5 million people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my goal.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to do.
That's amazing. Can you talk a little bit about why you feel like it's important in our current political moment? We talked a lot about the shifts that have been created. We're talking maybe, I guess that's like 25, 20-ish years ago from the Allentown Ordinance that we were mm-hmm. talking about. Can you tell me a little bit about what you feel about in this specific political moment those passages could, you know, do impact-wise?
Well, first of all, we're not going to see any federal movement on this.
Yeah.
We're not going to see any state movement on this anytime soon unless there's a drastic change in mm-hmm. the state Senate, which is unlikely because of the way it's gerrymandered in the state of Pennsylvania. So, but what we can see are these county passages. Mm-hmm. And when you say to, like, for example, Montgomery County has 850,000 people. It's almost 1 million people. If you count people who work in Montgomery County, it's probably 1 million people that are covered mm-hmm. by their law. That's really telling the LGBTQ plus community, you are valued here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a big deal
for
because
sure.
there's a whole circumstance of mental health reality for the LGBT community that if they happen to live in a place where they're protected by law, they have a significant less percentage of mental health problems.
Yeah, for sure.
That's really true. So that you can turn around and say, I don't have to worry about mm-hmm. every minute that somebody's going to come and fire me or tell me that I can't use a restroom or tell me that I can't get health care or tell me that I can't live in this block or go to this school.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things make a huge difference. But it also tells all of society, okay, look, you can't do this anymore. And here's a really significant thing. When we passed this law in Lehigh County, we've only had a few instances. So we've been running the Lehigh County Human Relations Commission for a year, about a year and a month. And we've only had 6 complaints, and 5 of them were dismissed because they weren't really under our jurisdiction. One of them wasn't even in Lehigh County.
Oh, okay.
So But they weren't instances where they were discrimination based on protected class. But that doesn't mean it isn't the commission that makes people safe. It's the law that makes people safe. Mm-hmm. And when this law passed in Lehigh County, the day after it passed, major law firms in the eastern part of the state sent out information via email and on their websites and on their blogs saying to people, Lehigh County has passed this law. You have to change your hiring practices right away. You have to change your hiring applications. You can no longer have a box on it that says, were you convicted of a crime in the past? You can't ask somebody what their salary history is. Mm. You can't discriminate against people because of their gender expression. And these law firms that are the law firms that handle these big, big corporations said right up front, okay, change. Yeah. Change now or you're going to get in trouble. Well, that means without the commission doing anything, it was protecting people right away. One of the things that's in those non-discrimination law is a salary history ban. And that means that people can't, and if you're working in Lehigh County and you're getting a new job, your potential employer cannot say, what were you making before?
Oh, yeah.
Because when they do that, that creates a pay gap, particularly for women and people of color. Mm-hmm. If you can stop a business from doing that, which is now illegal in Lehigh County, the pay gap will close by 15% in 1 year.
Wow, that's great.
It's really significant.
Yeah.
It's a major change. And pretty soon the pay gap will totally close because they won't be able to say to people who were traditionally making smaller amounts of money to perpetuate them making smaller amounts of money.
Yeah, yeah.
And the only justification for doing that is for the corporation to be ripping off their employees.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So this is a very significant thing. There's a lot of other protected classes. If you want to file a human relations complaint, you just go to the Human Relations Commission page of the Lehigh County website. You can read the entire law there. You can file a complaint with an automated or an animated form. You just fill out the form. And then attach it, you download it, fill out the form, attach it to an email, and send it back. And we deal with that right away. So why do we have to do that when we have a state human relations commissioner? Well, here's the deal. I got a complaint on Monday, and it turned out not to be jurisdictional, but I dealt with that complaint within an hour of the person filing it. And I told the person, well, it's not really a circumstance of discrimination, and so, but here are some other resources that can help you. If that person had filed with the state, it would have taken the state 3 months to tell them it's not in our jurisdiction.
Yeah.
The state has a backlog of 1,700 cases.
Oh, geez.
And if they have a legitimate case that is jurisdictional, it will take 2 years for them to review.
Yeah.
Whereas we'll be working on it immediately. Mm-hmm. And many people who feel they've been discriminated against, they just want somebody to listen to them, particularly government. Mm-hmm. And we could give people information about how, even if they're not in a jurisdictional situation, meaning that they don't have a case that really falls under protected class discrimination. Mm-hmm. It's not really, you know, it's like, that's not really discrimination. But if you feel that you have, there's a pervasive feeling of discrimination, start to record these pieces of information. Mm-hmm. You can come back and file again if you want to. You can also, and this can also protect people right up front, the employee who's being discriminated against based on any of those protected classes can say, okay, look, stop doing this to me because I can file a case with the Human Relations Commission and you'll lose. Because you just sent me this email that said, you know, you can't speak Spanish in the workplace. Well, that's not true.
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
Protected by state, federal, and Lehigh County law. But Lehigh County will deal with it immediately.
Yeah, that's definitely
so. Those are really significant things.
Yeah, because people, in my experience, usually, I don't think that people can wait. Typically,
no, I think it's really true.
If you're at a breaking point where you're filing.
If you're filing a complaint, you want, first of all, you really want some validation.
Yeah,
and
so
when I talk to, and I'm act as the investigator, when I talk to somebody and they tell me this story and it's really this horrible story, the first thing I say to them is, that's really horrible. It's a shame that you have to go through that. And they're just so happy that there's some government official. I'm a commissioner of the county saying, that's a shame that this is happening to you.
Yeah.
But then my next thing might be, but it's not really discrimination.
Yeah.
It's, you know, if you happen to be a minority and you lose your job, it may not be because you are a minority.
Mm-hmm.
It could be because you came late every day to work or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are the other things. So if the person says, no, it's not that, then we can go through an investigation to see if that is a legitimate circumstance. Mm-hmm. But we don't get a lot of complaints because, again, the law is in place. The law is like a stop sign. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to have a police officer standing next to the stop sign to make people stop. Yeah. They just stop. It's the right thing to do. It's the law. They stop the car. We stop the car driving over here.
Yeah. So, well, this has been really awesome to learn about non-discrimination ordinances and see some ways that people can get involved in their current communities. I'm sure that if you follow Keystone Equality, get connected with you all, they can learn a little bit more about getting involved in their local communities. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been Queerly High Valley with me, your host, Robin, and Liz Bradbury.